Some men learn to work the field, to plow and reap and sow. Others find a way to heal the body, mind, and soul. All of us are blessed with gifts, but each must find his way. But it took some time for me to trust in the word he had to say. Now I thank God for the music that I play. And the hands of these guitar strings, a kiss from up above. Now the years that work has taught me well, it's starting with his love. So the song says, put a little love in your heart. It says, put a little Jesus in your heart, because he is love, and that's the truth. So let's all tell your fellow man, right, baby?
Yeah. of Jesus this morning. Give him praise. Stay standing, amen. One nation under God. Under God. We have God as our shield. God to protect us. God to lift us up. Our Father.
Save everybody. Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen and amen. Be seated. Enjoy God. Give him praise. Let the world hear you praise your Lord and Savior if you love him. Only if you love him. What a beautiful day. God gave me a vision last night, a dream. And it was really short, so I don't want to say more than make it like it's a big thing that God was talking to me, but he knows my heart, and he knows how I feel about each and every one of you, and he knows the love I have for each and every one of you, and the feeling that you have for your sheep, you know, as a shepherd. And he gave me a vision last night as I was up here preaching, and there were so many people I didn't know in the church. There were people over here and people over here. I didn't know their names. I didn't know who they were, but they were here and they were praying and they were praising God with us. The house began to grow. The house began to be full. And I saw that vision, and right now in front of you all, pray with me because I claim it. I claim that vision. Somebody said to me last week, he said, when you have 100 people in the church, it's going to be hard to know everybody's name. I said, but not if we're a family. If we have 75 people come in, we should know each other. That's the secret of a church, to know one another. It doesn't matter the size. If you have 1,000 people, how can you know anybody? But I saw this vision. God showed me because of my heart, praying the way I was praying and the feeling I had in my heart. And he showed me, Chuck, Marilyn, he showed me people that we don't even know yet, filling this spot right over here. And I looked and I said, wow. And I looked out in the church. It wasn't full. It wasn't to the rafters. But there were people everywhere. And I claimed that. So you pray for me that that vision is true. Amen. You claim that with me. For me. Amen. Can I have your support? Would you all claim and pray that with me? Amen. We need to pray together. We need to pray together. We need to call each other and pray. If something is bothering you, call somebody. Pray with them. Call your pastor. I know I'm your friend, and you know that's a good thing, but if I had to choose between being your friend or being your pastor, being your friend doesn't have a chance, because I want to give you this. I want to give you what God has given me to give you. So just pray that we talk to one another, that we share one another. That's the only way we can grow stronger, amen? We can't grow stronger if all of a sudden we decide to do something without telling anybody else. How could we help? How can we grow? How can we be strong? How can we walk through the fires without working together? So pray that for each other. It's so funny that last week I said we need to pray more together. We need to get Elder Nancy praying for people. We need to just have people in groups together praying. We need people to say, I'm going to fast Monday to Friday between 12 and 4 o'clock. We need people to cleanse themselves and talk to God. Not just for our church, but for our country and the world. Amen? Can I get an amen? So rejoice with me. God showed me that, and he knew I needed to see that. So I'm claiming it in the name of Jesus. Our responsive reading today, Psalm 77, my favorite number, Mickey Mantle. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. That's right. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. And you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. He leads his people. He calls us to be one people, one flock. Thank you, Lord, for that message. Thank you for that scripture. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everybody sit back and enjoy yourself. Take your shoes off if you want to. Feel like this is your home because it is. This is a home you're building for God. Amen. Anything you do in here, you're doing for God. Isn't that something in your heart that's special? With 30 years ago, maybe you never thought, 50 years ago, maybe you never thought you'd be doing something for God, but you're building a house for Him. And if you're building a house for Him, guess what? Everybody, guess what? He sees what you're doing. That should excite you. It shouldn't make you run up and down and sound silly, but that should excite you. God sees what you're doing. I would be excited. I'm excited. I hope you are. Here's our quiz for today. Everybody ready? Here we go. The first part is just in the Bible. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a... And here's the answer. The answers to choose from. A sound of a mighty wind. B, a thief in the night. Or C, a mighty flood. But the day of the Lord will come as A, the sound of a mighty wind. B, a mighty flood. Or C, a thief in the night. The answer in 2 Peter 3:10 is, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. If you got that right, you don't win anything, but congratulations. The Bible scripture reads this. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will A, cast them into darkness, B, send fire upon them, or C, vomit you out of my mouth. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will A, cast them into darkness, B, send fire upon them, or C, vomit you out of my mouth. The scripture in Revelation reads, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. He doesn't want lukewarm, does he? Does he? He wants devotion. Okay, here's a little different one for you. One more. You guys are doing, how you doing? I'm enjoying this. I hope you are. Walter, yes? Good, okay, good. God, if Walter's happy, I'm happy, John. I don't know about you. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of joy, peace, and love. Joy, A, peace, love, or peace, B, and love. So one of those three doesn't go. One of those three isn't part of the list. So let me read it again. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of A, joy, B, peace, or C, love. Which one does not exist? Which one isn't in there? So anybody with joy does not fit. Anybody say B, peace, does not fit. Anybody say love does not fit. Anybody? This is from Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, joy, and peace. Love does not fit there. Romans 14, 17. So the word love there doesn't exist. So how many buddies said love? Congratulations. I like that. Let me read that again. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Those are your quizzes for today. Give yourself a nice hand if you got them right. I got so many more that are coming now. I'm so excited. I get almost as fun putting that together as putting your sermon together. I hope you enjoyed. Walter, thank you for enjoying those. You can find that last round in Romans 14. If you want to pick up your Bible and read it, I can't make you do it. Thank you, Lord. Good thing I got these things in order today. I'll never find them. Anybody see the mini sermon we put out yesterday for the 4th of July? I hope you did. I read the Gettysburg Address. It took less than 2 minutes to read the entire address. And the way that they mocked it and the way they talked about it the next day was quite humorous to me. And the man who spoke before him spoke for 2 hours. 2 hours. And nobody remembers one word that that man said when he spoke for 2 hours. And they belittled Lincoln when he said it. They said he made a buffoon out of himself. He made a fool out of himself. It fell flat. How's it going? But that Gettysburg Address is alive today as it was when he wrote it and when he said it. Amen? About this nation and about the sacrifice of this nation. Let me read this to you, if I may, brothers and sisters, on this day. America needs God more than God needs America. If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation going under. We can't have it both ways. We can't expect God to protect us in a crisis and just leave him over there on the shelf in our other day-to-day living. I wonder if sometimes he isn't waiting for us to wake up. He isn't maybe running out of patience. That was a quote from Ronald Reagan. I think that's quite powerful if you ask me.
I wanted to share that with you.
Because with God, nothing is impossible. Say that with me. With God, nothing is impossible. How's everybody today? Good? Praise the Lord. Can he make some noise? Everybody just praise him. There you go. If I stood here a year ago on July 5th, 2019, and I prophesied to you that there would be no sports in 2020, not one game, that there'd be no going to the beach, that you couldn't go to the movies, that you couldn't travel state to state. If I prophesied all this stuff to you, you would have done what besides run out of here? That guy lost his mind. What are you talking about? This is America, United States of America. We're free. If I told you a year ago today that people would not be able to go to church, you said, this guy, he's just lost his marbles. David be looking for a new pastor. True. But here we are. Here we are a year later, and everything I said to you is happening in the United States of America, all over the world. And I say that to you, said, who would believe my report of a year ago? But I don't say that to you for any other reason but to say now maybe the prophecies of this book are more real too. Maybe somehow the prophecies of the thunder and the earthquakes and the lightning and the storms may be a little more real because the impossible has happened and you're witnessing it. You're seeing things that if I told you a year ago, you would have escorted me out of the building, and now you're seeing that. No church, no travel, no life. All of a sudden, the words of the Bible have more weight in their prophecy. Ever think about that? Think about what God is telling us. These are God's words, the prophecies, what to do, how to live, how to treat each other. How much more power do they have now? Because you're seeing the impossible and you're living through it. So that should make you say a couple of things. First of all, you should say, boy, I need God more than I ever did before. I need God's love. I need God to keep me together. Amen? I'm going to do a story today out of the Bible that the key people in the Bible today are going to be Jesus, yay, Nicodemus, and you. Now, how many have heard of Nicodemus? Amen. Now, how many, what do you know about Nicodemus? What would be the one thing that you would tell me that is the whole story of him? He's teaching Jesus how to be what? Born again. Amen. Nicodemus and Jesus, and his lesson is to Jesus to be born again. Thank you, Lord. But here's the thing. I know you all know that one. So if you stop there, you miss a great lesson. If you stop right there with Nicodemus and the born again, saying, oh, well, I know that one, Pastor. You're going to preach on that again. I've heard that he was born again and how you have to be born again. And Nicodemus took him literally, saying that I had to go back in my mother's womb and come back out again. But if you stop there, you're going to miss so much more with Nicodemus and you and who else? Jesus. Say that with me. Jesus. For that name is so beautiful. So let's read a little bit about Nicodemus. Of course, it's John 3, if you want to go home and read it. But I'll read it to you right now. There was a man of the Pharisees named who? Yeah, you're with me. Good job. Hey, they got it. I like it. They are listening. A ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. When did he see him? Now, if the Bible doesn't tell us why he went at night, does anybody want to venture a guess? And the only guess I can tell you is he didn't want anybody else to see him. He was a Pharisee, one of the leaders of the Pharisees. So he goes to see Jesus at night. I think that's interesting. And what he says is interesting. Here's his next two words. He says, Rabbi, we. Now you were all born again. Maybe you didn't go that far. We. What does we mean? Gene, what is we? It's not just you, right? David, what is we? It's we. So there's Nicodemus, Greg, talking to, he said, we. Where? Who we? What did he know? But that's Chuck to what he says. We know. We know that you are a teacher come from God. Who we? Yeah. So he's, what is he saying? For no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. I find that nobody mentions that. We. He's saying, yeah, well, and Jesus is looking at him saying, I see you. I don't see anybody else. Jesus answered, said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus finds himself taking it literally. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus explains it to him, how it's a gift from God, how you take God into your heart. That what is born of the flesh is the flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. And then he says, do not marvel that I said that to you, you must be born again. And here comes the part that people sometimes miss about Nicodemus and you and me. Nicodemus answered and said to Jesus, how can these things be? Now, amen, understand that. That's an honest question, amen? That's honest. Nicodemus is talking to Jesus and he doesn't know the answer. Praise God, he's one of these people that says, how can that be? He wants to know. This is where the lesson begins. And listen to what he says to him. Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you did not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? That's where we begin. If I told you a year ago all these things would happen, you wouldn't have believed me. If I told you earthly things, the Bible is telling us about earthquakes and storms, and the Bible is telling us how to treat each other. We don't believe the natural. We don't believe the earthly things, how to talk to one another, how to be friends with one another, how to share God's word with one another. We don't believe that. If we don't believe those things, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, how are you going to believe the spiritual? Now you see the miracles he's doing. He's saying, you see what I'm doing, but you don't believe. So if you don't believe in what I'm doing and what you're seeing, how are you going to believe me if I tell you about my Father in heaven and the heavenly things? And that's where we are today. We see in the spiritual and we see in the natural. So if you don't believe that the country could have been shut down, how will you believe me when I tell you what God is saying? See, and that to me is the message about Nicodemus and Jesus that is missed. I love that part. And when I read that part, God showed that to me. Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? That's powerful. Powerful. Nicodemus, Jesus, and who? Us. Now, how many know that that's not the last time we hear from Nicodemus? Because getting off just a little bit, I wanted to follow this up. That Nicodemus is also mentioned in the book of John three times. And let me go to the second time. It's in John 7:45. I want you to listen to what happens again. This man, Nicodemus, who's talking to God. How did he come to God? When did he come? At night. Because he didn't want anybody to see. But we're with you, Lord. Okay. But John 7:45 starts out. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees and said to them, why have you not brought him? Talking about bringing Jesus in. The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man, sir. Then the Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him? He's saying, have you been deceived? And then he asks a very interesting question. And I read it again. I'll read it to you again. This is John 7, and it starts with 45. And the Pharisee then answers him, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in him?
Yep.
But this crowd that does not know him, the law is, but this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. And here's 50. Listen to this. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, Does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? What's he doing? What's he doing? He's standing up for who? But he's asking them. See, he's not standing up. I don't hear the we there. Anybody hear the we there? I don't hear any we there. But he's saying, is it right that we judge him before we even hear him? That's powerful. But does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. And everybody went to his own house. That's the second time we hear from Nicodemus. He's sort of standing up for Jesus. But does he do it? No. And I don't know where the we is. So that's why I like tying it all together. Because I don't know about you, but I didn't hear the we. Now we're going to go to John 19. Towards the end of the book of John. Thank you, Lord. This is the third time that the book of John refers to Nicodemus. Thank you, Lord. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100 pounds. Then took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. That's the third time you hear about Nicodemus. And what he's doing? He's burying Jesus. And he's with one other person, Joseph, just the two of them. That's the man Nicodemus. He had him right here. He had him right there, right at his fingertips. And he didn't quite grab. He loved him and he believed, but he didn't quite grab on. Amen. I see that over and over and over again in so many churches. People go to church, but they don't quite grab on the rope. Amen. You know what I'm saying? They believe and they like it, but they don't quite grab and hang on to the rope. The one piece of rope that'll save their life forever. The one piece of the rope that'll give them hope forever. How many have trials and tribulations? How many have things and pains in your body? How many feel sick sometimes? Amen. So God, you got to hang on. That's, without that, I don't know what anybody does. But this, and isn't it interesting to you as it is to me maybe, but every time that John mentions Nicodemus, what else does they mention? It's so interesting to me. Nicodemus, the man who came at night. I mean, that was a point that was like, what's that tool, Dave, that when you put a nail in the wood and then you take that other tool and you bang it so the nail is set deeper? What is that? A nail set, whatever? You know what I mean? That's what it's trying to do. It's, you know, he came at night. And he said, we. And I didn't hear any of the we in the other two. He defends him in the court, but there's no we. And when Jesus has died, he goes with Joseph, and he puts the myrrh and the alloy, 100 pounds that he brought for the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's the story of Nicodemus. And that's the story of today. Because there's a lifeline, there's a rope, and there's something to hold on to. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go into the book of Matthew. I'm going to read you two parables, tying this all together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. 13:45, if you want to read it later. Again, Jesus is saying this in a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. And the previous parable says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field. The man finds a pearl, the most beautiful pearl, a great price, went and sold everything he had. He surrendered how much? All. But did he lose everything? No. He surrendered all for that one pearl, that one thing that would just... And the man with the field, did he surrender all? Yes. But did he end up empty? No. Because he found hidden the joy, the treasure that was hidden. He was seeking and he found it. When you're seeking and you find it, you want it. Amen. Can I get an amen? When you're seeking and you find it, you want to have it. You want to hold it because it's more valuable. And you're willing to give up everything, everything for that one thing, because nothing else will matter. Nothing else will matter. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Finding spiritual contentment, finding peace in one's heart, having that relationship with Jesus carries us through everything. Nothing, well, weapon formed against us can prosper. That's one of Miss Jean's favorite scriptures. No weapon formed against us can prosper. You need to say that every day when you wake up. No weapon formed against me can prosper. Because those are promises from who? God. Now you got the natural and now you got the spiritual. I just gave you a spiritual promise to hang on to. Amen? Finding that pearl, one pearl, brings contentment. Hallelujah. Finding that field with everything, the hidden treasure that he was searching for. John, he sold everything to have it. Amen? Everything. Nothing meant more. And that's how you should feel about Jesus today, especially. Anybody see anybody that I like the gold shows? They go hunting for gold. Parker Schnabel out in Alaska, he digs for gold. Last year, he got $7 million worth of gold. $7 million. The year before that, he got about the same $7 million, John. And guess what he's doing again this year? Digging for more gold. Because once you have gold, what do you want? More. You're going to have more. You're not content. You spend thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars to get more gold. Silver is the same way. Power is the same way. Somebody gets a little power and it feels good. They want what? More power, because that's not enough power now. I want more power because it's not contentment. Desires, hallelujah. Wealth. Anybody see anybody wealthy saying, oh, I got enough money. I don't need to do anything anymore? Not very often. Because when you got money, what do you want? More. Fame. Fame's a wonderful thing. You got an actor, an actress, or singers. Amen. They're famous. But they're not famous enough. Amen. They want what? More. The world. But here's the truth about gold and silver and fame and wealth and beauty. It goes away. There's fear. Fear. Is fear from God, church? No, there's fear. All of a sudden, you got all this gold. Now all of a sudden, you're afraid somebody's going to steal it. Well, what if I lose it? What if somebody comes and takes it? What if somebody comes and robs my house? I got to buy security, and I got to put everything over because now I'm afraid. I got all this, and now I'm afraid. It's even worse with the people that we idolize, the actors and the singers and the fame. You know why? Because other things come against it, Brian. Age. Can't play like I used to. I can't sing like I used to. Something's coming. I'm afraid now because I had this talent and I'm doing it, but I can't do it like I used to. And I don't look the same. So I go to the doctor to look different. And you do look different. Praise God, you look different. Not for me. Because something is taken away. All of a sudden you have fear. Well, I'm not as pretty as I was when I was 30. I didn't look like this when I was 35 either. Brian asked me before, did you ever have a beard? Honey, you have to show him that picture. I had the most wonderful beard. It was so bright. Greg, you remember it was dark brown. I had long hair both places on top and in back. Not there anymore. If I grew a beard now, you wouldn't see it. It'd be white. That's the truth. The things of the world never give you contentment. They give you a little rush. They make you feel a little secure. And all of a sudden, one day it could be gone. Somebody could steal it. Somebody in the stock market can cheat you out of millions of dollars. The age takes away your beauty. And age takes away your talent to sing or play or dance. All of a sudden, you're not confident anymore. All of a sudden, depression comes. Because that's where depression can really get you. When you're successful and you feel like you're not as successful as you used to be. And you want to be more and you get depressed. Amen? stolen through years, worry and age. And here's the beautiful part of the sermon. Not so with God. Because Jesus said you're going to be renewed every day. That's another promise in the Bible you can claim every day. Amen? You believe the world, believe God. He said you are renewed every day. You might not look in a mirror and think it, but God is saying your spirit inside is renewed every day. You have more power today than you had yesterday because that spirit should be rising up. That spirit of God. You should have no fear. You should use wisdom, amen? With the sickness going around, you don't want to be around 10,000 people in the middle. I get that. You want to use caution. But you don't walk in that fear. You have God with you. God's godly wisdom will show you, will guide you, will lead you. No weapon formed against you can what? Prosper. Your spirit is being renewed every day. Every day. How many days? So you have more today than you had yesterday. You might not have as much money. You might not have as much fame. You might not have as much wealth. But you have more of God in you every day. Everything else is a lie. Anybody ever see these movies that we watch a lot? The drug dealers, these guys that sell drugs and they show where they got them hidden with the drugs. And they got tables. Marilyn, I'm telling you, tables. 10 feet long. Full of money, Joseph. Full of money. I mean, more money than you... It ain't enough. There's no contentment there. Somebody else in the... Some other bad man can come and steal it. Understand, with God, there is always more. Isn't that reason enough to hang on to the rope? I think so, anyway. Thank you, Lord. So, brothers and sisters, on this beautiful day, take this message with you. It's the spirit and not the flesh that changes us as believers. It's the spirit that brings you contentment. It's knowing that God said, I will supply your every need. He said, I am with you always. He said, he loves us always. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Any sin that you might commit, any thought that you might have, you ask God for forgiveness. That's his call. That's his job, forgiveness. Jesus sits at the right hand of his Father and looks down at his people. And he just, a compassion that we can't understand. It's the spirit and not the flesh that changes believers. The wealth of the human soul is to have God. For it is the very own, only God can do these things in your life. And if I could teach that to everybody, just believe and stop the bickering and stop letting the world get into your mind and into your thoughts and turn to God, it changes you. If you hear something on TV that you don't like, here's a clue. I don't want to give you this hint, but I'll give it to you anyway. Ready? Turn it off. You hear a song on the radio you don't like, you listen to the whole song. Anybody? Why? Why don't you listen to the whole song, Iman? Because you don't like it. So you hear something on TV that just gets you all, that's off. Thank you very much. I feel better now. Thank you, Lord. Because when you turn the TV off, you got more time to spend with God. What do you mean? You talk to God all the time? Say, well, I kind of do. I kind of want God to be in my presence. And I look out the window and I look at nature and I thank God for the birds in the backyard. It's that kind of thing. My spirit. You know, I've met some people, and I have one of my dearest friends, bless his heart. You know him, Greggy. I've known him for many, many years. And he recently moved to South Carolina, and he found a church. And he's in part of the church now. He's been going to school a little bit. Right, Reen? He'll call up, and I want to talk to him because we've shared so many wonderful things together. We had so much fun together. So, John, I want to talk to him. All he wants to talk about is God, the Bible. Well, here's what the Bible says. I'm giving things away. And after a while, I can't have that. I can't talk to him. You see, because he's gone from one extreme to, you know, I like to talk about God and I like sharing God. But when somebody just talks about like that, you don't talk about the fun. You don't talk about the good. You don't talk about the things you share. And it really makes a difficult conversation. I mean, I agree with what he's saying. But I called him to say, how you doing? How's the kids? How's Stephanie? How's your wife? Oh, God is good, and God did this, and I gave this, and God let me have it, and God, oh God, and I gave this food to this guy, and I thought, oh good, okay, good, yeah. What else you doing? But I do think about God all the time, and I think about you all the time. When I'm praying for a sermon, it takes a week, hours. And my wife would tell you, I'm up sometimes at 4 in the morning, sometimes 2 at 9 in the morning. And I'm writing and I'm reading. It's wonderful. I love it. But it's about you that I'm doing it for. Amen? So what is peace? What is peace? To each of us, it looks different. Whatever flow finds his peace, maybe art doesn't, but it's different. So what is peace? To each of us, it may look different, yet it is God who gives that peace. You're going through things today. I know you are, because we all do. But you give that to God, and you leave that in a box put over there saying, God, I need your help with this, but right now I'll do what I can do with my hands to give myself joy and peace. Get my mind off of that. That the problem's not going to go away, but God will work it out so all of a sudden you get a chance to make it go away, to do things. I believe that. I believe God opens doors for us. God knows your heart. Whose heart? Your heart. Whose heart does he know? You. So this story about Jesus and Nicodemus comes all the way back to, guess what? You. It comes back to you, Deacon Bill. It's you. You're the story today. This sermon is about you today. Having that strength, having that peace, and having Jesus. God knows your heart. So everything that I spoke with today is between you and God. Hang on to that rope. Sometimes it takes two hands. Sometimes you feel like your fingers are going to fall off, but just hang on. Hang on, because there's no other way better than that way. There's no other answer better than that answer. And I will leave you with this thought this morning. We need to find God. And he cannot be found in noise or restlessness. God is the friend of silence. See how nature, trees, flowers, grass grows in silence. See the stars, the moon, and the sky, how they move in silence. We need silence to be able to touch souls. Isn't that beautiful? You know who said that? Mother Teresa. She found God. You find them silent places in your life and you'll have more fun than you ever thought possible. You find those times where God and you feel like he's listening, changes your life forever. It doesn't take away, it adds. Every day, you're being renewed every day. If you don't believe the natural, how are you going to believe the spiritual? These are promises from God. You would have never believed me if I told you a year ago what's happening outside. You would have thought I was crazy. So now that you see all that is possible, then this word of God is even more powerful today. Give him praise in this house, Lord.
Came at night, did he?
We.
We believe.
We do. Sang a song this morning called I Surrender All. That's it. Nothing's worth having it without Jesus. The gains that you have and the things you want to do are greater with Jesus. That's the message today. Sometimes they say I preach on the same thing, and I probably do. But if I preached on the same thing and you knew the Bible better, and you can quote scripture to me, I've done a good thing. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing what? The Word of God. That's what the Bible says. So if I preach to you the Word of God every week, and I preach to you the same scripture until you memorize it, guess what? I've done a good thing. And your faith is increased. To know the Lord. To believe in the spiritual. Let's do the Lord's Supper this morning. Thank you, Lord. With the apostles, Jesus breaks the bread and blesses it, said, this is my body being torn for you. He simply asked that we do this in remembrance of him, in Jesus' name. Pour poured wine into a cup, saying, this is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins. So this morning here at Second Congregational, I ask God to cleanse us today, any of the iniquities that we had this week, any worries and doubts that we carried that we didn't need to carry, anything that kept us from God, anything that kept us from seeing God, anything that kept us from the glory of God in our lives. Cleanse us, Lord, from our hearts. We know always that the flesh is weak, but you know our hearts. That's the most beautiful part of God. He knows you. He knows your heart. When you can find that peace with him, how he can give it to you as he gives us to us. That forgiveness, that's the first sign of peace that we can hold on to. And he said, drink and do this in remembrance of him in Jesus' name. What a beautiful time at church. Letting that fill you, letting the Spirit fill you that renews every day, that doesn't grow old, that nobody can take from you, nobody can steal from you, nobody can ever do anything because God is with you. Glorious promises of the Bible, you need to claim them. You need to read them and claim them. Stand on the word when you wake up. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will do it, Lord. I will start with you. Because no weapon formed against me can prosper, Lord. And my spirit is renewed day by day by day. I'll be better today than I was yesterday. I'll be closer to you today. It will change my life. It will change how I talk to people. It will change how I react to people. It will lift people up. It will bring people to God. That's the victory. I want you to pray with me this morning that vision God showed me last night is real. Because it's awesome. And I've been believing that this is a lively church on fire for God in one body. Amen. I want you to believe that with me. I want you to pray with me today with all your heart. Don't look around. Don't worry about anybody who's not here today. But believe me today that they will be back. You believe that with me. And I mean really believe it with me. No messing around with this prayer because I'm standing on God. I know that we're walking with God. And I know that we're fighting against powers and principalities in the world. But I know that we're talking and preaching on God, and you need to pray with me and believe with me for this vision and this church and these people and those people who aren't here today. Anybody you can think of, you pray for them because they're our family, and it's so hard to claim them back. But I just say pray with me and believe with me. Don't pray if you don't believe. Please don't pray, I hope. Don't say I hope, but believe. Stand on the word, amen. You stand on the word, and you watch God working. That's when you see miracles, amen. And that's when I'm believing for you, for me, and for this church. Give him praise. Hallelujah.